Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone. I'm Blaine Gilmer, and welcome to another edition of Recruiting Every Second, the show on the Believe Podcast Network that covers everything SEC football recruiting related. And we are wrapping up a very busy month of June that has seen visits galore and has brought a lot of news and notes from around the country, especially with these powerful SEC teams. And we are going to cover everything SEC West related today. As I said, I am Blaine Gilmer. You can follow me using at BGilmer18 on Twitter. You can follow the show using at recruiting_SEC. That's recruiting_SEC. And like I said, I'm going to be flying solo today and covering everybody in the SEC West, give a little recruiting update. Where do they stand right now in the rivals teams rankings? And where do I think they'll end up based on some of the targets that they're going after? And, you know, just how the recruiting class shakes out. We're kind of what I would say to the midway point here of the recruiting cycle. There's, you know, a lot of the work has been done building those relationships, getting those visits in, doing the groundwork, so to speak. Now, a lot of these young men in the month of July are going to pop off some commitments because a lot of them want to get their recruitment out of the way in the class of 2022 before their senior year ends up. And then also there's going to be some that wait during the season to get some more final official visits in the fall, see a full game day experience, things like that. And who can blame them? That's a great experience to take in. Everybody loves college football. The capacity crowds are going to be something that I think everybody is looking forward to getting back to. And, you know, there's a lot of these colleges that are betting on that experience really coming through for them with some of these high-profile prospects. So we're going to hit all the SEC West schools and targets. But as I said, they're betting on that experience, winning over some of those guys. And speaking of betting, guys, our show is brought to you by Bet Online. Listen, the month of June, it's been a hot one. There's been a ton of exciting sports actions, and Bet Online is where you can find all of it, from basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures. Bet Online has all the latest odds, news, and information on all your sports betting needs. So, guys, whether it's you doing research on a game, trying to figure out who the favorite is, some fun prop bets, whatever you want to do, you can find it over at Bet Online. So get over there, visit the website today, or just use your mobile device to join and receive up to 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, pitch, head over to betonline.ag and start playing today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And we're very thankful for Bet Online being the sponsor of the show this week. Have another sponsor coming up midway through the show, and we'll talk about them in just a little while. But again, Bet Online, guys, whether you're just trying to figure out the lines or the information, or you've got, you know, want to put a little extra cheese on the Whopper, so to speak, that is where Bet Online gets it done at. So as I mentioned, we're going to be covering SEC West recruiting day and going through the rivals teams rankings from highest to lowest ranked right now. And we're going to start off with the LSU Tigers, guys. The LSU Tigers are ranked right now in the Rivals team's rankings, number 4 team in the country. They have 11 commitments right now, and they start from Walker Howard and Jacoby Matthews, both 5 stars out of Louisiana. In fact, out of their 11 commitments, all of them but 2 so far are from the state of Louisiana. So Ed Orgeron putting a hedge around the boot, so to speak, making sure they take care of business. They've got Jadarian Rhyme, a DB out of Valdosta, Georgia, a 4-star. And then tight end Jake Johnson out of Athens, Georgia. Yes, Athens, right out of Georgia's backyard. Georgia would have loved to have Jake Johnson, but with his older brother, Max Johnson there, left-handed quarterback who's vying for the starting quarterback job, it seemed inevitable that Jake Johnson would end up at Louisiana State. So in terms of this right now, LSU has a real shot at not only staying in that top five, but they have a real shot of climbing maybe to the top of this class. They've got guys like Sean Murphy, five-star inside linebacker, that could end up at Louisiana State. They're really heavily targeting Jamon Tapp, who's a four-star edge defender that has a real shot and ended up at Louisiana State. Another Louisiana guy there in Jamon Tapp. Damari Austin, a running back that LSU really, they don't have their running back yet in this class. And Damari Austin is out of the state of Georgia, so they could go into the Peach State once again, grab another high one there. Shaz Preston, four-star receiver that has been to Georgia, Alabama, Texas, USC. So he's been on a lot of trips this summer. So that LSU has a lot to look forward to. And could be landing some guys real soon, whether it's, like I said, Caleb Jackson, a running back in the 2023 class, that could be coming down the line for them as well. But you've got guys in the 2022 class, specifically Jamon Tapp and Sean Murphy, that could really bolster this class, Damari Austin as well. So LSU, if they start picking up those guys, especially some of the high profile guys that are in the state of Louisiana, adding to it, maybe even a Kelvin Banks out of Humble, Texas, or a Harold Perkins out of Cypress, Texas. They start dipping into the state of Texas there. LSU has a really, really good shot of getting up towards that number one class before all is said and done. Now let's talk about the Texas A&M Aggies, guys. Jimbo Fisher, who made waves earlier in this offseason by hiring away one of Georgia's best recruiting staff members in Nick Williams. Nick Williams was a graduate assistant at the University of Georgia, now a defensive analyst. So not only does that mean, you know, getting a bump in pay, a different title, things like that, but Nick Williams has taken some of those Georgia connections and at the very least, he's gotten people to decommit from Georgia. He's gotten them into the Texas A&M environment. He's got them in there to see what College Station has to offer. And guys like Bear Alexander, Deion Bowie, both decommitted from the University of Georgia immediately after their official visit to Texas A&M. So right now, let's hit on where Texas A&M is. They are currently ranked number 9th in the Rivals team rankings in the class of 2022. They have 10 commitments to their name. Much like LSU, they're taking care of business in-state. And in fact, all 10 of Texas A&M's commitments are Texas high school players at this point. They range from 4-star Malik Celia and Donovan Green, down to 3-star Jared Kerr, who just came on board not too long ago on the 25th of June. That means they've had 3 June commitments this month. They got Martrez Harris Jr., a linebacker out of Houston, Texas, Ish Harris, an athlete out of Pilot Point, Texas, and Jared Kerr, a athlete out of Lexington, Texas. So, as I said, they're sitting number 9 right now. Here's the thing with Texas A&M. They've got to try to now capitalize on some of that momentum they made with guys like Bear Alexander. They have to try to bring in a Kojo Antoi, who is also out of the state of Georgia, but has Texas A&M ties with his family being from the state of Texas. And they've really got to be able to do that to stay up in this class, up in the rankings in this class, because it's one thing to get close, but you don't get anything for finishing second in these recruitments here, especially in the high profile, very competitive SEC West. I will say this, that Texas A&M has done a tremendous job with visits. Them and LSU are vying for some of the same guys I mentioned earlier, Harold Perkins, a linebacker out of Cypress, Texas, Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle, big 6'5", 300 offensive tackle out of Humble, Texas. They had Keon Saab in for an official visit not too long ago, Kamari Wilson, as I mentioned, Bear Alexander. So these Texas A&M guys, they've got to try to land some of these huge guys they're really investing time in. And, you know, with Jimbo Fisher, he's a guy who obviously is known for being a winning coach, especially for offensive scheme-wise, things like that. Well, bringing in some explosive athletes always helps that out. Brennan Thompson is a track speedster out of Spearman, Texas, so another in-state guy that they could try to hold on to there. So there's a lot down the pipe here for Texas A&M. Bryce Anderson is another guy that you need to try to watch out for when it comes to Texas A&M, a safety out of Beaumont, Texas. So there's a lot on the table here for Texas A&M, and they're trying to really see, you know, who they can bring in here in the month of July to kind of capitalize on that early momentum. I feel like Texas A&M is going to have that early momentum, but I'm not so sure that they're going to hold on to it. I think Texas A&M really needs to make sure that they capitalize this season on their win totals from last year. And, you know, early on, they've got some easy games in terms of Kent State, Colorado, New Mexico, and then that there's that game with Arkansas. So you go to Arkansas on September 25th, and you're playing a Sam Pittman coach team in prime time. And it goes from Sam Pittman's Arkansas team hosting a Mike Leach team in Mississippi State, who I expect to be much improved from year one to year two, and then Alabama. So that three-game stretch right there could really, you know, make a lot of difference for Texas A&M. If they go into that Alabama game and they've lost one of those games between Arkansas and Mississippi State, then that recruiting class is probably not going to do as well, because people definitely are not going to expect them to take care of Alabama at home. I just don't think that they're to the point where they can beat Alabama this year, especially with a young quarterback who's never really played, been the guy before. So we're going to see what Texas A&M can do, but I do not expect Texas A&M to finish in the top 10 in the country in this class. I just don't think the momentum will hold up. Now let's move on to Mike Leach and the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Actually, but before we do that, we're here in the meat of it, in the middle of this SEC West review. So this would be a perfect time to talk about Moink Box, guys. Moink was founded by an eighth generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said that it was the best bacon he's ever tasted. And I've agreed. I've had a sample of this, guys. And Jamie Simonoff, the creator of Ring Doorbell, he invested in Moink as well. So you got to ask yourself, why do four companies control 80% of the U.S. meat industry? Because big food crushes the little guy. You can help change that with MoinkBox.com. Why are 97% of chickens served in the United States dipped in chlorine? Simple. Because big food doesn't have the same quality standards as the family farm. That's why you need MoinkBox.com. The best bacon, the best steak, the best chicken, and the best salmon you'll ever eat. And it won't come from a grocery store. You'll only find it on the family farm and caught by independent Alaskan fishermen. That's why you need MoinkBox.com. Join the MoinkBox movement today. Go to MoinkBox.com/believe. That's B-L-E-A-V. Right now, and listeners to this show get a free year of bacon with every box ordered. Free bacon for a year with every box ordered. That's one of the best bacon, some of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. Spelled Moink, MoinkBox.com/believe. That's MoinkBox.com/believe. So always thankful for Moink Box for being a sponsor of the show. like I said, we're going to touch on Mike Leach's Mississippi State team. They're ranked 13th in the country in these rankings, guys. And that 14 commitments overall, they've really been trying to stack up some of those commitments early. Now, the thing with Mississippi State is last year they had a good recruiting class going as well. But can they keep some of these Mississippi guys from flipping to an Ole Miss like happened last year? It was Mary Flipmas over there for Ole Miss, and we'll see if that ends up happening. They do have two four-stars in the class right now. That's Khalid Moore, a linebacker out of Poplarville, Mississippi, and Dontari Russell, a defensive end out of Jackson, Mississippi. Dontari Russell actually committed early in the month of June, so June paying dividends for Mississippi State with Dontari Russell and with Lucas Taylor, an offensive lineman out of Mobile, Alabama. And then they finished off the month by getting commitment from Cameron East, an offensive lineman who is 6'7", 269, out of New Orleans, Louisiana. But as I said before, with Mississippi State, it's going to be all about keeping the momentum going, making sure that they recruit the guys that they currently have committed at Mississippi State. That's exactly what they have to do. Finish off this class. Make sure none of these guys that are committed to Mississippi State right now end up leaving this class. That's what they cannot afford to have happen. And Mike Leach and company have to capitalize early on in the season, show that they're a different team. They had that big splash year. Big splash win with the LSU win, but it turned out that it was a little bit of fool's gold there with LSU not being the team that they were from the previous year of winning their national championship. So with Mississippi State, they're a team that they can fight to stay within the top, have a top 20 class maybe. If they finish out strong, they've got to land some of the top targets that they have out there, guys like J.D. Stewart, a linebacker out of Greenville, Mississippi, has to end up trying to be in this class. R.J. Moss, a defensive lineman out of Biloxi, Mississippi, that they're targeting as well. Even if they were to land someone like a Jamon Tapp, get in on some him with the edge. I do think he's slated to go to LSU, but they're trying to do that. Josh White out of Cedar Grove in Georgia, in Ellenwood, Georgia. So, and then Jacob Hood, a monster offensive tackle out of Nashville, Tennessee. If they can get some of those guys on board, and then maybe even a couple surprise additions here and there, then you could see Mississippi State hover into that top 15 range. And then if, something happens with some of those teams ahead of them, maybe even push to get up towards the top 10, but that would be best case scenario. I think Mississippi State has to hope that they stay within a top 20 class, honestly, for the rest of this. Now we come to Alabama. Alabama is currently ranked 17th in the Rivals team rankings. They only have 8 commitments right now, but Alabama is a team that hosted a ton of talent in the last weekend for official visits, and they're obviously looming large in recruiting, as they always do. I always say Alabama doesn't really have to recruit anymore, guys. Alabama is the type of team that they just invite. They tell people, okay, we're gonna let you have a spot if you want it, and here's what Alabama, everybody knows what Alabama has done, so they don't really have to just go out and sell these guys on the program. In fact, Tyler Booker said this past weekend that, they talk more about academics and more about what they can do for you as a person, because everybody knows what Alabama is able to do on the field. Alabama's in that Walter Nolan sweepstakes. Walter Nolan, the top player in the country, 5-star out of Cordova, Tennessee, defensive lineman. They're going to try to flip guys like a Damani Jackson. They're going to try to bring in a Denver Harris from North Shore in Houston, Texas. They're going to try to flip a Luther Burden, from Oklahoma, which Oklahoma did go back. But I think the biggest thing about Alabama's class is that they got Ty Simpson. They won the lottery there, in my opinion. And Ty Simpson, we had his parents on last week talking about that. So you can check that over in the archives, guys, on recruiting every second over on the Believe Network. You can follow the show using @recruiting_SEC. You can follow myself using @BGilmer18. But I think Ty Simpson could possibly be the next Heisman Trophy winner, providing they don't win one this year here at Alabama, because Ty Simpson just does things on a football field that a young man really shouldn't be able to do at his age level. He's very extremely savvy in the game of football, with his father being the head coach at UT Martin there out of Martin, Tennessee. And when they have guys like Ty Simpson and Emmanuel Henderson already committed to five-star guys there, then you're going to, you know, only add to that if you're able to land a Tyler Booker out of IMG Academy. Those like Georgia and Alabama fighting hard for Tyler Booker, the big offensive tackle out of IMG. And they have, you know, they have a hand in Brennan Thompson, who I said Texas A&M is also fighting for, the speedster wide receiver, or Earl Little Jr. out of American Heritage in Florida. Justice Finkley was on a visit down there, guys, at a out of Hewitt Trustville. I believe Alabama, Georgia, and UCF are kind of the three schools that are fighting for Amari Kelly, a receiver out of Hewitt Trustville as well. So Alabama in undoubtedly is going to be factoring in very, very highly as this comes to, you know, fruition here, this 2022 class and their class right now. Realize this: Alabama is ranked 17th in the country, only 8 commitments, and they don't have on the Rivals rankings. Actually, when you look at that, they don't have a bona fide 5-star yet. On the Rivals ranking, it's all 4 stars and below. So imagine when they bring in some of these guys, these high profile targets that, you know, Alabama is going to bring in towards the end of the year. This Alabama class will vault up into the top 10 in a hurry once they start stacking up some of these commitments. And it's already started to hit for them here. They, in back to back days, they got Amir Nyblack and Robert Woodyard. Robert Woodyard, a linebacker out of Mobile, Alabama. So, you know, you add that, like I said, to the foundation of Ty Simpson and Mayo Henderson, these guys are going to stack up in a hurry, especially when you get through the month of July. They're going after Jake Pope, a receiver out of Georgia, Buford, Georgia, so who was also on that official visit weekend. So we'll see where Alabama finishes. Obviously, it's better to be up in the top 5 in the country once again, pushing for that. So we will see where the Crimson Tide finish. Of course, they'll always impress in the fall, and young men will see that gameplay at Nick Saban coach team and will try to start coming on board. So Alabama really slow played things in the class of 2022 because of the COVID era of recruiting, not having in-person evaluations, and those are huge to Nick Saban. So look for their ranking to change drastically going in to the finish of the class of 2022 as we head towards December. Then at 18, you have the Arkansas Razorbacks, coached by Sam Pittman. They're ranked number 18th in the country, as I said, with 12 total commitments right now. And those 12 commitments range all the way from 4-star Rashad Dubion out of Ellenwood, Georgia, running back, really all-purpose type guy out of that famed Cedar Grove High School, as I've already touched on, guys like Josh White. Also from that Cedar Grove High School, there's people like C.J. Madden, Carlton Madden Jr., who are blowing up. Of course, Kristen Miller, everybody knows in that class, all those guys from the same high school. But the one that Arkansas and Sam Pittman were able to reach back into Georgia, use their connections in the state of Georgia, Jimmy Smith, a coach there who actually played at Cedar Grove, was able to come back and get Rashad Dubion to be that kind of playmaker in the class here for Arkansas. Saw Miles Rouser out of Belleville, Michigan at the Rivals 5-star challenge, a 4-star DB that Sam Pittman was able to bring in. And then, of course, also in this class, out of the 12 commitments, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them are out of actually 8 of them are out of the state of Arkansas. So that's always the key, making sure you protect your home state. And then they also have, like I said, they have an Eli Stein, only a 2-star out of Cambridge, Wisconsin. They have Eli Henderson out of Duncan, South Carolina. And then, as I mentioned before, Dubion and Rouser at the top of the class, 2 out-of-state guys. So they're laying a solid foundation with guys like Amarian Harris that Alabama was on as early as anybody at 6'7", 338 pounds, but they were able to bring him in, keep him in a Little Rock guy there. And the most recent commitment they got was from Nico Davier, who was being recruited very, very hard by Oklahoma. In fact, some people thought he was going to end up at Oklahoma, but they were able to keep the defensive end out of Maumelle, Arkansas, 6'2", 265-pound, 4-star there, edge defender in the state here right as the quiet period of recruiting was ending up, and now we're going into another dead period. So they'll see if they can capitalize on that momentum right at the end and get some more guys, in-state guys, and then also focus on, you know, bringing those key pieces from outside of the state of Arkansas as well. Then you look all the way down. So Arkansas goes from the 18th ranked team, and then the next ACC West team is Ole Miss at 74th in the country, guys, 74th. So there is a lot of room for improvement in this class. Ole Miss did a lot of work late last year, like I said, with the Mary Flipmas deal. So we'll have to see how Ole Miss can finish things out. Obviously, they're going to be trying to stack up commitments here. And the biggest thing that Ole Miss can do, honestly, and Lane Kiffin, is show that fun product that they have on the field and have more success doing it. If Ole Miss comes out and has a hot run, a lot of publications and prognosticators, things like that, are picking Ole Miss to be kind of a surprise team in the SEC West this year. If they're able to do that and they're able to capitalize and finish with a, you know, 1-2-3 loss season, just have a kind of a magical run over there in Oxford, in the Grove, then you're talking about Lane Kiffin being able to really stack up some guys that would undoubtedly produce more flips, things like that, from Mississippi State. So, but 74th is definitely not going to get it done. I don't expect them to finish there by any means, because I said they've only got 4 commitments in this class right now. Marquez Dortch out of Loosedale, Mississippi, an athlete, and Taylor Groves, another athlete out of Cross Plains, Tennessee. So there are a lot of guys still out there on the table for an Ole Miss. They're trying to bring in probably, I would say, if not a full class, upwards of the 23 members of the class. So there's a lot of work to be done for Ole Miss. Obviously, they want to finish with a top 25 class, I think would be realistic here, to try to stack up those commitments here late in the season. But as I said, the best friend for Ole Miss is going to be that play on the field this fall and showing how Lane Kiffin's program has progressed from year 1 to year 2. Then you've got the team that is absolutely dead last in recruiting for the SEC West, and that is the Auburn Tigers. Of course, going through a coaching transition right now, and, you know, having brought Brian Harsin on as the head coach, they're really trying to change an identity, change the culture there at Auburn. There's a lot of investment going on into the program in terms of facilities that are just now beginning to be built. But Auburn only has 3 commitments right now. 1 is at the quarterback position, Holden Gariner out of Savannah, Georgia. Benedictine, who is a big 6'3", 215-pound guy who will do his best to recruit some of these targets that Auburn is going after. But, you know, one thing about Auburn is you got to understand they're not going to be able to take a full class, so to speak, this year because of taking so many transfers in the class of 2021 that are going to count against the number for Auburn coming in this year. So don't expect Auburn to be up there around the 25 signees mark. They've got a bunch of transfers that they had to use to supplement the roster that are going to count against the number this year, and you know that'll mess them up with some things. But they're going after some of the key guys: 4-star Darius Clemens out of Portland, Oregon, a West Coast connection there. Brian Harsin bringing some of his connections from out west, and another guy that they're going after is in the state of Alabama is a Caden Story, who is a 4-star defensive lineman out of, like I said, Lynette, Alabama. There, they have to try to obviously pull in some of those in-state guys. A Curtis Perry out of Montgomery would be huge to bring in for Auburn. And you know, there's just a lot of these players in the Alabama area. They need to try to pull some guys from Louisiana, maybe even Mississippi to bring in. And then also Brian Harsin, as I said, has all those connections up in the greater Northwest area up there, being from his Boise days. They're trying to go after 4-star edge defender Tyrese Fearby. I know Kentucky is after him as well. Trey Donaldson, who's from Tallahassee, he's visited Auburn on an official visit this summer. Damari Austin, running back that we mentioned that LSU is heavily after, and some people are even already predicting to go to LSU if Auburn could somehow get in the mix with him. I think they've kind of fallen out of things with Amari Kelly, which is something that's disappointing for Auburn, because that he is somebody that I think the Auburn fan base was really hoping to get on, with Trustville being his hometown there. And then Auburn is, you know, in it for Marcus Allen out of Marietta, Georgia. I think he's making his final decision here soon. And, you know, Auburn just has to. They had Jacob Hood, big offensive tackle who Georgia is vying for, Mississippi State is vying for, a lot of these guys. Miami is in on him, and then Auburn tried to get in as well with that official visit there from Jacob Hood. So a lot of these targets left out there. Auburn really needs to try to be economic with it, because like I said, they are going to not be able to take exactly a full class with all of the transfers that they've brought in this year. So we will see how things turn out in the SEC West. I don't see Auburn getting much above a top 30, 35 class this year. So you're talking about, I think we'll go on a brief recap. LSU currently at number 4 in the Rivals rankings. I think they have a chance to finish at the number 1 class in the country. I mean, just depending on things break, they're going to be no less than a top 3, top 4 class. Texas A&M was sitting at number 9. I feel like they will drop out of the top 10 before all is said and done, because I don't think Texas A&M is going to live up to the billing this fall. Mississippi State, what they have to hope is that Ole Miss doesn't kind of catch fire during the year and have a good showing this fall, because I think that'll cause some guys to flip from them. I'm going to say Mississippi State struggles to keep a top 20 class this year. Alabama ranked at number 17. I'm going to have them going up all the way inside the top 5, because they're going to end up landing some of these monster guys that they had on campus for that last official visit weekend. You know, the Denver Harrises, the Tyler Booker that they're fighting Georgia with, you know, a Jake Pope type guy. They're going to be bringing in a lot of talented players. Arkansas, they're at 18. I think Arkansas has a chance to get up into a top 15 class if everything goes extremely well. Let's say they win that primetime matchup this fall against Texas A&M. Also, I think they have Texas on their schedule as well. So some big games this fall that Arkansas can really help themselves out with what they do on the field. Ole Miss, of course, 74th, and Auburn 78th. Both of them have a lot of room to help fill out the end of the class. Ole Miss has got to hope to finish in that top 30 to 35. I think Auburn as well. I don't think either one of them are in for a banner year in recruiting, but we'll see how it all wraps up. Guys, this has been another edition of Recruiting Every Second, brought to you by Bet Online and Moinkbox.com. Of course, we're over on the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. I'm Blaine Gilmer. Follow me using @BGilmer18. Follow the show using @Recruiting_SEC. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.